Go with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I am reading verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yesterday afternoon, Dad and I made our way out to Beausejour, where there was a gathering of about 500 people packing the funeral chapel there in memory of a dear friend, a dear co-worker, Jerry Kalinske, who at the age of 65 dropped instantly of a heart attack and was taken from this world. Jerry had learned to fly a plane before he had learned to drive a car, and so the joke was that he had to, from his Transcona home where he was raised, he had to take the bus to the airport in order to fly off in his plane as a young man. Well, here once again we are brought to a portion of Scripture in which preachers, time without number, have gone at the very point of a funeral to comfort. The Apostle Paul says, what I want you to do with what I am sharing with you is to share them with others that people might be comforted by them. Comfort one another with these words, the Apostle Paul says. For the past several weeks, we have been going through Thessalonians. And as you will recall, we first of all led up to it, going with Paul and Silas and with his evangelistic party, as they were first in Philippi and treated very badly there, and then sent on their way. And they come to Thessalonica, and after 3 weeks of ministry, in like manner, they are driven out, and they are treated with disrespect and disregard. And the Christians who are left there in Thessalonica, as at Philippi, are left to wonder, should we continue? Should we go back to our former ways? Were these fellows who dropped in on us ever so briefly worth listening to in the long run? The Thessalonians, they decided, we are going to dig in, because these were not just any words of some traveling philosopher or academic, some rabbi or teacher from whatever land. These were words of life. Now, as Paul writes back to his brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, these dear friends who he had only shared about 3 weeks with, there is an intimacy, there is a depth of love for these people that is amazing. I've met some people, some I've liked, some not so much. Maybe you have too. But here the apostle He is deeply concerned for these people, so much so that at one point, not able to bear it any longer, he sends one of his most key companions, Timothy, back to find out how they were doing and whether they had in fact held the line, held steady, held firm. And Paul was all too delighted to learn that in fact they had stayed their ground. But Paul, as he writes here, notice how that he does not speak about, look, this is what you need to do, but he wraps his arms around them and he says, we, time and time again, we, there is this bond that the Apostle Paul has developed with them, and the bonds of Christ and the bonds of Calvary and the bonds of the Christian church. And he says, we do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Point number one is that Paul was deeply concerned about these brothers and sisters, that they would have a depth of understanding that the gospel works not just for this world, but that it works for the world to come. Sometimes we go to the Bible and sermons and Sunday school lessons, they break down into simply moralizing. Live a better life. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't covet. Be nice to your neighbor. Do unto them as you would want them to do to you. It'll end in a better world. But here the Apostle Paul says, this gospel that you have received is not just simply for moralizing for a better world somehow, someday, but this impacts us in this world and that which is to come. Some of these believers undoubtedly came out of a world in which you die as a dog and in which there is nothing further beyond the grave. Paul would want them to know that we need not stand at the side of a grave, as Dad and I did yesterday, with a great gathering of people, and the casket is laid there, and then people turn and walk away. We need to realize that we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. Of course, there are tears at a time of parting. Of course, there is a heaviness of heart. Of course, there is that longing, that eager desire. Oh, that I could sit down and talk with that person once again, that I could sense their embrace, that I could feel their hand clasped in mine. But Paul says, we grieve, but it's different. You see, we have hope. Paul then says, verse 14, if we believe. Believing is not simply just pie in the sky, and it's not just hopeful thinking. It's not wishing that the weather would change and wishing that my life was better. It's if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, the obvious question, if you walk up to someone on the street corner and say, look, Jesus Christ died and rose again, and they would say, well, I've heard about this Jesus from 2,000 years ago, but there is a mighty disconnect between Jesus and his life and death and what is taking place on the streets of Winnipeg today. And not simply in terms of disconnect of ethnicity. Most of us are Gentiles and he was a Jew. Not simply a disconnect in terms of 2,000 years of time. Not simply just a disconnect in terms of geography that we are on opposite sides of the world. But so what? What does someone living in Transcona and the choices that they make have to do with me who lives on the west side of the city? Paul says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And because of that belief, everything is different for us. We believe that His power was made evident. We believe that God was working out our salvation in the Son's death. And Paul says, if we believe this, and most certainly Paul believed it, most certainly Timothy and Titus and Silas, they held on to that. Paul says, in like manner, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, those for whom there has been a funeral service conducted. Paul says there is great hope in this. So we do not want you to be uninformed, because we believe something together. Then verse 15, Paul says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, sometimes things go past us a little bit more quickly than they should. First of all, Paul underscores here that he had spoken, that he had given voice to something of deep conviction. So it should be with us as well. For this we say. Paul does not say, I am telling you this, but there was a witness that was born to these Thessalonians, and that they had laid hold of. It's good for us all to be preachers and to be proclaimers, that we together be proclaiming and giving voice to the truths that we hold dear and that we hold confidently to be true. This we say to you, by what authority? By the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul did not pull out his credentials and say, well, look, I've gone to these academies and I've had these instructors and I've received these degrees that litter the wall of my home. Paul said, by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. And for Paul, that was the beginning and that was the end of it as far as what needed to be said. But Paul says, there is a certain precedence, there is a certain ordering that will take place at the coming of the Lord. That we who are alive will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. And I want to read several verses, because here, what God has laid forth here in for His coming, Paul, in a similar way, picks up on this, speaking of preference for one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. That was certainly a good word for the Thessalonians. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. But especially there in verse 10. And the second half of the verse, give preference to one another in honor, Paul says. Here, we come to a principle that the Lord gives, that those who are alive will not be the first ones through the door of heaven. They will not be the first ones that are caught up at the trumpet sound. But the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, The dead in Christ will rise first. And Paul says, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. One of the underlying principles of Faith Bible Church is that there be an honoring of that which is rightly in God's economy to be honored. And one principle that we have laid forth is that we give preference especially to those who are older than us. We seek to lay forth to our youth and to our teens, to our children, that those who are older are deserving of honor. This comes out in a variety of ways. It comes out in the music that we use. It comes out in the deportment of our service and the respectfulness of our services. It's a horrible mistake when we tell our young people, children, teens, or whoever they be, you are the center of the universe. And all that should be tailored to your liking. We say, no, that is not right. Not just does it not make sense, but it is not what God has laid out in His Word. There are at times very definite preference that is given. And here we have it that there is an order. There is a respect given for those who have gone ahead, for whom a funeral service has been conducted. The Lord Himself will descend. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who continue to enjoy the beauty of the grass and the flowers and breath and life, we will be caught up with them, all of us together. And Paul says, we, no separation then, no division of any kind, we will always be with the Lord. Now Paul ends it all by saying, comfort, comfort, comfort. I suspect that each and every one of us have been to a funeral service at one time or another. As a young man, I had a dear friend by the name of Dale Dawson. At one point, Dale's brother, young brother, Keith, about the age of 5 or 6, I would think, he drowned one summer while I was in southern Ontario, and I was unable to attend that funeral service and just to come back and to see that Keith was no longer there in that family unit. Then, later on, when Charlene and I served in Africa, I received word one day that my dear friend Dale Dawson had walked into an emergency room. He had walked in, but there on an emergency room cot, he had breathed his last. It seemed that he had become so utterly dehydrated from flu or sickness of some kind, and the small bit of medicine that he had taken, at first they wondered whether it was suicide, but they said that the small bit of medicine that he had taken in his so dehydrated condition had meant the end of his life, and there was nothing that they could do for him. I was unable to attend that service either. I got to thinking about this, and though I have known both of my grandparents, my mom's parents, my father's parents, my Aunt Elma, it was only about a year and a half ago that I attended a funeral service for someone who is actually related to me. Now that's an amazing thing. I was 50 or 51 years of age at that time. And for that to be the first family funeral that I had attended for my Uncle Paul in Vancouver, it was an amazing realization, and I thank God for His kindness to my family. over all of the years.
But inevitably we come at a time of parting, whether it's for someone who we are loosely connected with, or whether it's someone who it so pains us to think of them being absent. And though you have said your farewells 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, yet it's as though you are standing by the graveside right now. The pain is just as keen. I would want you to hear the words from the Apostle Paul, that you might receive comfort. Those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, they are not gone forever, but God will bring them to life as wonderfully and as marvelously. They will be dressed even as you and I will be dressed in power for that great day, that great day. But dear friend, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Have you surrendered to Him? You see, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to know Him. You need to take Him by the hand. You need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me your child. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be ready for that great day when you come. It's as simple, my friend, as opening your heart and saying, Lord, right now I surrender to you, and you become His child. Lord, we would come this morning and we would say, may no one leave this place except that they have settled this. That they are not saying, I hope so. I'd sure like to go to be with the Lord always. But may it be, I am a blood-bought child of God. The love of God has been shown to me. I have received of God's salvation. May that be for each and every person who leaves this place of worship today. I pray that each one would have this confidence. And may the comfort of the Holy Spirit, may the God of all comfort so come among us and speak wonderful peace and strength to our hearts. And may we rejoice in all of your goodness, Lord. Hear us, O Lord, we pray. Not one to leave without having settled the old question and having this confidence they have passed from death into life itself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.